Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. You who were hardy enough to make it down the hills in the middle of the snow, and welcome to all of you who are cozy at home, safe from the coronavirus and safe from the snow. It is good for all of us to be together. It truly is. It is a day for rejoicing. Not only the fact that we got down the hill safely, but, you know, there's always the getting back up that's the fun part, too. It is good for us to be together on this day as we continue our green and growing season after Epiphany. This season where we celebrate all of the ways that Jesus makes God's love manifest to all the world. And so I'm glad that you're here. Someone might have needed you to be here. So thank you. But we have all gathered this morning to be in worship. So please rise as we hear of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Our gathering song is At the Cross, and we sing together.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. Where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing. Surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground, here I bow. Sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus, Jesus.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you gather the whole universe into your radiant presence and continually reveal your Son as our Savior. Bring wholeness to all that is broken, and speak truth to us in our confusion, that all creation will see and know your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first lesson this morning is from the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, beginning at the 15th verse. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. That is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'If I hear the voice of the Lord my God any more or ever again see this great fire, I will die.' Then the Lord replied to me, 'They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from amongst their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die.'" The word of the Lord. The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at first verse. "Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs us up, but love builds us up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one God. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us closer to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you who possess knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if the food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall." The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a Saturday at synagogue, and Jesus continues the ministry that we have been watching him at the beginning of. You know, for the last 2 weeks, we've seen Jesus calling some of his followers and beginning his ministry. But today in the gospel, here at the synagogue, Jesus begins what will be his typical course of action, especially on a Sabbath day. On Sabbath, Jesus goes to synagogue, and there he taught if he was asked or was able to do that. Now, there are other places throughout the Gospels where Jesus teaches in his ministry, but he was always at synagogue on a Sabbath. So this time, at Capernaum, at the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus teaches, and he astounded the people who were there. Because it says he taught them as one with authority and not like the scribes. Because the scribes were always quoting some other authority. You see, the scribes and most of the rabbis of Jesus' time would come to synagogue and they would read from the Torah, or they would read from part of the scroll of the prophets, and then they would lead the people down a path of interpretation, quoting from one revered rabbi or another, quoting from one scholarly group to another, quoting from all of these peoples until they finally got to the one rabbi with whom they agreed, and they would make their argument. Jesus was doing something else altogether. Now, we don't have the text of Jesus' teaching this day. What we have is we have the audience reaction. See, because Jesus spoke from his heart to their heart. He wasn't trying to show them how much he had read or how sophisticated were his arguments and his abilities. He was showing those people that he cared. He was showing those people that God cared. And that is his new teaching. You see, because as Jesus was there, the people were, there was a question that was coming all the way around. What is this? The people at the synagogue were amazed by Jesus' presence. But this all led them to the question, what is this? What are we seeing? This is different. This is new. Not in that, you know, like new tide has basically got a new stink to it or something. It's not like really new. But this, what Jesus, this was unprecedented. It was new. And the answer they gave to their own question was that this is a new teaching, but it is a teaching with authority. It is not a repackaged presentation of someone else's ideas. It is a new teaching. And the authority doesn't come from some rabbi long ago or from school of thought that happens around us. The authority was actually there with him, with them, sorry, because the authority was Jesus himself. What is this new teaching? What is this unprecedented thought that they were given? The teaching that Jesus gives that day is that God's power, all of the amazing power of God, is to be used in service. The power of God is to be used in casting out the demon from the man who came there to synagogue that day. The power of God is to be used to cast out the demons in people's lives, whether it's arrogance or ignorance, indifference or weakness, illness or loneliness. The power of God is to be used in healing, helping, feeding. This power is not meant to be used in violence or destruction. God's power is not primarily the earthquake, but in the compassion in the aftermath. What we see today, what Jesus was showing today, what God has chosen to reveal, is that as God was revealed in Jesus, he is revealed through love and through service. So as God's children then, as we reach out to the world, we reach out with the hand of Christ. And with it, the love of God that Jesus brings to us. We reach out an inviting hand. We reach out a helping hand. We reach out in service. Service to each other, service to the community, service to the world around us. Because our call from God through Christ is a call to serve. And our commitment to God in Christ is a commitment to serve. This is that new teaching. Not one that is hemmed in by all kinds of esoteric knowledge, but is rather free to serve through the love of God. Paul reminds us in Corinthians today that knowledge puffs up. I think I told you that I had a t-shirt once that says, "People who think they know it all are especially annoying to those of us who do. Knowledge puffs up. I have so many degrees and all the rest of that." That's what Jesus' audience was used to. People sort of trying to puff themselves up by all of the things that they knew. Love builds up. That's Paul's conclusion. And it's Jesus' actions that day in teaching and as he casts out the demon. See, Jesus doesn't come up to that guy and expect him to have a passing grade on an exam before he helps him get rid of the unclean spirit. Jesus isn't there waiting for all kinds of wonderful stories of this man's worthiness. Jesus sees a man who needs help. Jesus sees a person, one of his family, beset and in pain, confused and ignored, and Jesus helps. He doesn't use any special gestures or words. He just says, come out of him. Because the power is there, but the power is used for compassion, for care, and for service. Our calling is to care. Our calling is to care for neighbor and stranger, family and friend, even enemy and outcast. When Jesus calls out, follow me, he wants us to follow into lives filled with the power of God's love, a power to change lives in service. In 1 Corinthians, we hear knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Because what Paul is doing is Paul is leading us to love one another like Jesus is showing us. In this reading from Corinthians, Paul is dealing with two opposing sides, both of whom are convinced that they're right. They have everything correct, and everyone should just agree with them, whoever them is. Paul doesn't care who is correct. He reminds them to love. If you're right, love each other. If you're wrong, love each other. If they're right or wrong, love each other. This is the authority of Jesus Christ. That is the authority that we are called to share, to see another in need and to meet that need as we can. We don't wait till they agree with us. We don't wait until we have discovered the very perfect quote for my motivation. We don't wait until we find a new tool that we can use. We just don't wait. We help. We care. We love, however that love will look like today. It's what Jesus does all the time. And we can love that love also because Jesus loves us so completely. Jesus died and rose so that God's love is ours. He calls us to follow so that God's love is in our lives and then flowing from us to the world around us. You see, we can change the world through the power of God's love in Jesus Christ. We can make this world beautiful through the power of God's love in Jesus Christ. We can bring hope and peace, joy and kindness through the power of God's love in Jesus Christ. Now, by what authority do we do these things? By the authority of that same love. The unconditional, freely given, notoriously extravagant love of God fills us to overflowing. And as followers of Jesus, as children of God, we can do no less than share all that we are given. Inspired by God's generosity, we get to live generously, caring for the world around us, listening to our sisters and brothers, helping as we are able. We know God's extravagance, and we get to live God's love extravagantly, because that is God's dream for us all. So let's go and live that dream. Amen. Let us rise as we remember and celebrate our baptisms by confessing together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Guided by Christ made known to the nations, let us offer our prayers for the Church, the world, and all people in need. For the Church throughout the world, for pastors and teachers, for deacons and deaconesses, for musicians and servers, that all proclaim the good news of God's reconciling love. Lord, in your mercy, for skies and seas, for birds and fish, for favorable weather and clean water and for the well-being of creation, that God raise up advocates and scientists to guide our care for all the earth. Lord, in your mercy, for those who provide leadership in our cities and around the world, for nonprofit and non-governmental organizations, for planning commissions and homeless advocates, that God inspire all people in the just use of wealth. Lord, in your mercy, for those who are sick, distressed, or grieving, for the outcast and all who await relief, that in the midst of suffering, God's peace and mercy surround them. Lord, in your mercy, for our congregation and community, for families, big and small, and for the organizations that meet here during the week, that God's steadfast love serve as a model for all relationships. Lord, in your mercy, in thanksgiving for our ancestors in the faith, whose lives serve as an example of gospel living, that they point us to salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwells among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. When our Lord Jesus called us into his service, he called us in the power of God's love. And in the power of that same love, I bid you now, come to his table of grace. You may be seated.
I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at his table. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. what joy will fill my heart. With the saints around the mercy seat of God.
Please rise. As the body and blood of our Lord Jesus fills us with strength, we are also sent out in love and service. And so together we pray, gracious God, in this meal, you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. I want for all of you to stay warm and stay dry and stay safe as we go into the world with hope to make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Praise to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our God and our King. To him we will sing. In his great mercy he has given us life. Now we can be called the children of God.